with you guys, and it was both made, but I sing it as the church. And it was said that I was going to give birth, but it wasn't a physical birth. And it was the second time that apparently I was going to do this, and I was asking whoever was with me, how do I do this? I don't know what to do. I think it's going to hurt. I don't even know. But it was the second time, and I really just, God just showed me the revelation that it is the church. And it could also mean you individually. And so I just pray that there's something that you need to step into or give birth to. It might be uncomfortable or hurt. Wow. But, yeah, I just pray that I encourage somebody to step into what God's got for you.
Amen.
The girls are going away. If you're a girl and you want to go away, go for it.
See Bridgie.
Bridgie's organising. Awesome. Thank you. It'll be near the beach somewhere. Is that correct?
Heck yes. I mean, yes, guys.
Someone wants to get away.
See you later.
These are our great friends and our spiritual son and daughter. Love these guys. Zach and Carl have a heart to release what's called the Center of Kindness and Grace, which is a multi-coloured, multi-faceted ministry that will affect little regions and then all around the place, around the world. So we've told them to dream big. We love these guys, known them for a while. So excited for their lives. Carlin's currently finishing off her PhD in psychology, is that correct?
Yeah.
Yes, got it right. Be able to call a doctor soon, which will be awesome. Know a few doctors.
Yeah.
And these guys have an awesome journey. They're associates at another place, and then that place finished up. And so over the last, probably 2 years,
mm-hmm.
we've just been walking side by side and releasing them into the fullness of what God's called them to be. We really feel that what's on their life is going to really change our nation and also the nations of the earth. Carlin's from Canada, not Canada, as I call it. And so they've got awesome stuff happening, I believe, in the future in that place as well. So we're super excited. So why don't we pray with these guys? We're just going to release them today into the fullness of that before Zach comes and preaches. Kathy, you want to add anything to that?
Just love them.
Love and peace. Yeah, Father, we thank you for your spirit. That is poured out on sons and daughters. We thank you for our brother Zach and our sister Carlin. And we ask, Lord, we just propel them forward. As Esther saw, we just propel them forward into the things of the Spirit that they are called to. We thank you for their diligence over the last decades, God, to see your mission and clearly step into it here and in the nations, God. And we pray for open doors, Lord, and we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would continue to pour out your fame and your name through them. We just release them as a couple. We plead your blood over the marriage. We plead your blood, Lord, over the children they're going to actually bear one day. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing in Oak Flats, in Wollongong, where they are, in Shell Harbour. And Father, we thank you from Oak Flats to the end of the earth that you would just continue to send them into everything you've called them into. And we release them now in Jesus' name.
And God's just saying that.
And I just saw the Lord showing like this image of, it was like a hospital bed wheel on the bottom there, and just showing about, and the word he was giving there is that he's giving you that ability to be able to move with ease.
Wow.
Yeah.
Come on.
Is it all yours, right?
Thank you. All right. All right, guys, thank you. Bear with me for 2 seconds. All right, guys, thank you so much for having us. We get so excited to come up, not to preach or anything like that. I love preaching, but just to be with you guys. We've come up here a few times in the past year or so, and we just We really love it. I don't know if you guys know this, but you guys are actually famous. Like, you know, people, you know, that we are friends with down in the Southern Highlands and stuff, that's where I grew up. We all talk about you guys. And it's not just because of Adam and Kath, as I love them with all my heart, but it's like, it's the church. I love that.
Yeah.
That it's all of you guys, yeah, of what God is doing. And there are times where we get together with these friends and we're like, oh, if only the Blue Mountains wasn't so far away. No, did have to get up quite early though to come here, but anyway.
Dressing.
And you can move.
I can move around. Oh, exactly. Thank you. I'm not used to that. But guys, thank you so much for having us and just for worshiping. Just the worship just went off. I absolutely love that. When that you guys just went for it on the drums, the only thing I could respond was just, God, here is my heart.
Yeah.
Like, that's all I have to give, is you're just, you know, breaking off everything else.
Yeah.
It was just so beautiful. And then, is it Maddie? When you shared, I feel like you prophesied everything that I'm about to say, and on a mind, and on what God is doing in our hearts. So I just want to encourage you that was spot on,
yeah,
and really cool. I love that God showed you that. So what I thought I'd do, we'll just kind of quickly just share with you just a little bit more of this vision that God's given us. And, you know, we are not, you know, experts in any way on this. We are fully, like, in the journey. Grassroots, we don't really know kind of what we're doing, but we know that we're going after Jesus, and that's the only thing that matters, hey? So I just want to quickly share with you how we got to there, and then I hope that I can just share something that might spark an encouraging thought in you, and maybe get you thinking and dreaming with God in a way that you might not have before, or maybe God will just spark something that you have thought of before, but in a new way. So, as you guys know, as Adam just said, Carlin's from Canada, I am from Sydney, and then to the Southern Highlands, and now we live in Oak Flats. So, from a young age, I've always wanted to be a missionary. I always, you know, my youth pastor, when I was 10, he ended up moving him and his family to Madagascar, and there was something like that person who introduced me to Jesus. I was just like, I'm just so... You deposited something in me that I saw, and that I just wanted in from the age of 10. So I just dreamt of being a missionary in places like Africa. Carlin has also had that on her heart. We've both been blessed since leaving high school to have done multiple mission trips to different parts of the world, which we absolutely love. And I, just before we started dating, I was living in England doing youth work, and I had got the opportunity to go to India for 2 weeks with some friends from Australia. And I remember God touched my heart so strongly there for these kids that I got to hang out with. I sat down on my bed and I showed God my passport with my British visa in it. And I said, God, when this visa expires, I am going to be on the next flight, one way to India.
Wow.
I'm doing the Heidi Baker and just rocking up. And you can do the rest, because God, I believe that you can do it. Anyway, 2 weeks later was when Carlin and I actually started, you know, getting to know each other. And it became very apparent that that might not work. Because Carlin was like, you know, Zach, I would love for this to work, but I've got like 7 years of school ahead in a place like Canada or Australia. I'm like, oh, okay. Anyway, I just really liked her. So I'm like, oh, you know, whatever. Let's just go for it. What you do for love, right?
Amen.
Yeah.
But you know, God's just been kindling this in our heart. I didn't know how that was going to, we still don't fully know, but I think that's the beautiful mystery. We don't know how God will marry this dream that's in Carlin's heart to see people with mental illness come to fullness. And it's spent all this time, nearly 8 years studying. We want to give God every bit of room that he can to grow in that. And at the same time, he's given us this heart. You know, Carlin has said multiple times, God, I could just give it all away and we could move somewhere else. But God's like, I'm not asking you to do that.
Yeah.
I'm not asking you to sell everything and move to Brazil tomorrow. I'm asking you to keep going with your study and to spend the money and to take, you know, do the hard yards to get to where I want you to be. Because the people that she's already ministering to are people that I will never get to. Because the people that, you know, that she's meeting with are coming to for a clinical psychology session, not just for a coffee with Zach. Anyway, I don't want to spend too much time on that, but we have mission on our heart. We were then, as Adam said, involved in a pastoral role down in Wollongong, which finished up. But all throughout that time, God was just staring, being like, guys, you're not called to be a pastor. It's interesting, as soon as you say, oh, I feel like I want to be in ministry, I feel like the natural thing is, oh, you should be a pastor.
Yeah.
Like, there's more than that. There's so many different ways that God wants to raise people up. So I had this, you know, we're just kind of like, okay, God, we're in Australia for now. I had this heart to go to somewhere like India and start a children's home and look after kids. You can't really do that in Australia. So I'm like, God, what does that look like in somewhere like Australia? And we just kind of just started dreaming. I was working at a Christian school, and there was this one lady who would drop her kid off to the classroom that I was working in, and she had quite severe cerebral palsy. And I just remember God birthing this dream in my heart, being like, what if there was a place that had the reputation that nothing was impossible for God?
Yeah.
That nothing could be, you know, turned around, or as you said, Adam, this morning, that there is always a way in any situation. So just started dreaming about that. We had this little Honda Jazz. We just moved from Canada. We bought this cheap car, and the number plate was COKG. And I'm just like one of those people who's just like, I wonder what that number plate means. And God said, Center of Kindness and Grace. I'm like, okay, I like that. Anyway, that was years before. And then, you know, when we were just really, you know, when you're just wrestling with God so much, and it's like, oh, come on, God, there's something in my heart, but I just don't know how to get it out. And that's when it's really cool to have someone like Adam and Kath in your life who will be like, we are going to partner with you to see this thing birth, no matter what it's going to look like. And by the way, the dream that you have is probably not going to help our vision in the Blue Mountains at all. But we don't have an agenda just to build our own vision. And you're just like, oh, someone would actually, you know, believe God with me for what God has put in my heart to see birthed. Which was, and that was at the start of this year, and we've just been on this journey to be like, okay, God, we have this idea for this ministry center that anyone can come and encounter Jesus. That's all we want to stand for, is that someone can have an encounter with Jesus and their life can be changed. So, you know, wouldn't it be cool to have like the Dream Center in Los Angeles, which, you know, 600 people can stay in and stuff. I'm like, oh, that'd be sweet. Or, you know, what about doing something like Heidi Baker, and you've got like 10,000 kids in your village that you're looking after? But I'm like, we have a little two-bedroom apartment in Oak Flats.
Yeah.
Come on. What can God do with that?
Amen.
We don't have anything else, but I love that. So now we're in this place, you know, and naturally, I don't know about you, but, you know, you try and visualize, like, okay, God, maybe do we need a building? Do we need to do this? What do we need? And God's just like, hang on a second, guys. Take it easy. And I want to tell you just two of the most important things that God has instilled in our heart over this time of searching. The first thing is this: the most important and powerful thing that we could ever do is to walk in hourly and daily obedience with Holy Spirit. This is so much more powerful than any ministry we'll ever birth, because it's relationship. So it's every day just walking with Holy Spirit. God, what do you want to do here? What do you want to do there? How are you going to use me today? Do we dream big for the future? 100%. But we have to be present in the moment, walking in obedience. And the second thing is this, and this is kind of the verse that sums up what we want to do. It's in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. I'm reading the Passion Translation, and it says this: throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite, limitless riches of His grace and kindness, which was showered upon us in Christ Jesus. So what I want to say is this, is that you are a center of kindness and grace. The fullness of God dwells in every single one of us to be a display of the limitless, infinite riches of His kindness and grace in Christ Jesus. Which I love, because it fully brings us back to an organic place. You know, I was thinking, you know, obviously Carlin's from Canada. We'd love to live there one day, but I'm like, oh God, if we start a ministry here, then what about if we move back to Canada, then we have to give it away and blah, blah, blah. And you know, you just come through all these silly scenarios in your head. And God's just like, guys, you are the center of my kindness and grace, not a building, not a ministry. It is you. The legacy that we will leave our children will not be a building, And it will not be a ministry. It will be a life laid down to say, Jesus, we will go wherever you want us to go. That life of daily and hourly obedience, that's the thing that I want my kids to gain from me. Not, oh, you know, you have a cool building. There's nothing wrong with all those other things. But I'm saying we can romanticize it in a way that isn't conducive to our relationship with Jesus. And it actually takes us away from the main goal of what we're doing.
Yeah.
So I love that God has been taking us on this journey saying, guys, bring it back. Keep it grassroots level. You know, let me organically grow it. Grow it in yourself. And then see, you know, all the other things as his word says, everything else will be added unto us. So what is his kindness and what is his grace? Simple words, we hear them all the time. I just want to quickly unpack them. Kindness, when you look at the word kindness, especially in the Old Testament, most of the time it is attributed to the zeal of God. And when I think about the zeal of God, it's not just some passive zeal. I love what you just were sharing around communion. It was the zeal of God, his heart for his kids, that drove him to the cross. His zeal has action attached to it. So when I think about the kindness of God and how much he loves us and the full expression of his heart, it calls him to action. So kindness is the movement of God. Kindness is God in action working on your behalf.
Yes.
That can affect anyone in any situation. And what is grace? I was just, you know, dwelling about this, and the Holy Spirit just started to speak, and I was like, oh my gosh, God, I love that. When you look at the word grace, especially once again in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, it's that undeserved favor of God, that we get all the favor of God and we did not deserve it. And when you look at that in the Old Testament, when you look at the word favor, it's normally found in the sentence, to be found, to have favor in the eyes of God. So I'm like, okay, so when you have favor, you're actually caught in his gaze. And I love, is it in Zephaniah where he says that we are the apple of his eye.
Come on.
So when we're found in the gaze of Jesus, it's not some far away, I see you over there. It's, you are the apple of my eye. I see your reflection in mine. It's that close. So when God gives someone grace, they are literally walking in to have a face-to-face encounter with God. Like, grace is amazing. Mercy is when he does not give us what we deserve. Grace is when he gives us something that we don't deserve. He lavishes himself on us in such a beautiful, beautiful way that is so limitless. So what I love about what he's doing in all of us, his grace and his kindness live inside of you. They are expressed to you, and God wants you to express them to the world. So I would ask you this morning, what expression of his kindness and grace is in you? What vision has he given you? What is he speaking to you about? The one thing that I know that I am very good at is romanticizing my vision, as I shared before, in a way that doesn't help me in now, in the present. I'm like, oh God, when we like live in Brazil and we're like rescuing kids off the street, it'll just be so good and it'll be so great. But here I am, I mow lawns. Life is, you know, a bit boring. That's not how Jesus wants us to live.
Yeah.
Because I think it's funny, like the times that I've actually been blessed to go on mission, it's not comfortable. You walk out of your room and you're like, if you're in somewhere, I remember we were in Ghana on this mission trip, and you walk out of your hotel room and it's like, I'm sweating. I haven't done anything, but it looks like I've just taken a shower. And this is the start of the day, and I haven't even gone into the sun yet. Like, it's not comfortable.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You get sick sometimes. The first time I remember I ever went on mission, I convinced my parents by some miracle to let me go to Zimbabwe when I was 15. My dad tells the story that he had shoulder surgery and was on quite a lot of morphine. He's like, yeah, go for it. Anyway, it enabled me to go. And the first time, I was freaking out, like culture shock. But then also being like, I don't speak the language. I have no idea what's going on around me. We're 2 hours late. It's midnight. I haven't had something to eat. Where are we going to sleep tonight? And it's just like, well, you wanted it. Here you go. Obviously, there's grace in that. Thank God for that. But how sometimes it's easy for us to romanticize what we'd love for our life to look like. And it's actually not helpful because it takes us away from enjoying what is now. You know, my heart is obviously in a place like India or somewhere like that where we can work closely with children. But I'm like, but God, I'm a center of kindness and grace now. And there are people in Oak Flats who need some help.
Yeah.
On Thursday night, Carlin and I just went to the shopping mall for late night shopping. And, you know, just kind of looking around, and I saw this, I don't want to sound not politically correct. I saw one young man who was definitely struggling with his identity. I walked through the car park and there was a car boot open, and I looked down to the side of the car because like there were two women in the car, and there's a man who I'm assuming was a Muslim praying in the middle of Shell Harbour Mall car park. I'm like, wow, I didn't expect to see that, but man, you're committed. And then I saw another lady who I knew worked at the air conditioning department of Harvey Norman. And I'm like, okay, fancy seeing you here. And I looked around and God was just like, Zach, that's why you're here. You know, there are people who are trying to find the kindness and the grace that they need in everything else but Jesus. Whether it's a different religion, whether it's you know, trying to change your identity to be something that you feel more connected with, whatever that might be. We're here not because we're perfect. We're here because we carry the heart of our God.
Amen.
What an honor that is. So what I want to encourage you guys this morning with this is that it's time to romanticize our everyday with Jesus.
Yeah,
it's time to romanticize. And I was looking at that word this morning. It's like this excitement, this mystery around someone else. And I know that I suppose a lot of our culture today, it's quite a sexual term, but it's such a pure, like, oh, I'm excited to get to know this person, to be with this person. And I want to encourage you to romanticize today with Jesus. Not do we dream and we get excited about what God's talking to us about 100%. Because otherwise we wouldn't be on a direction. But our number one is let's be in love with Jesus today. Because that's the thing that will bring maximum impact to the world around us. And I just want to share two thoughts about how to do that. Deuteronomy 13 verse 4 says this: serve only the Lord your God and fear him alone. Obey his commands, listen to his voice, and cling to him.
Come on.
For me, I'm just like, that is the most simplest expression of what our life every day should look like.
Amen.
Obey his commands, listen to his voice, and cling to him.
Amen.
Like glue. Be inseparable with Jesus every day. What could that look like wherever you walk into? What happens when we do this? I love in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33, it says, but the one who always listens to me will live undisturbed in a heavenly peace. Free from fear and confident and courageous, you will rest unafraid and sheltered from the storms of life. Crazy, hey? A romantic life with Jesus looks like that. I like that there's two parts of that you're fully at rest and at peace no matter what. No matter what, do tough times come? 100%. Can they throw us for six? Yep. But can we live in the core of who we are undisturbed? Well, yes, we can.
Yeah.
Because Jesus lives inside of us. But there's also a bit of an adventurous side of that as well. We live fully confident and courageous.
Amen.
To step out in the midst of the storm. And to step out with such a spirit of adventure and faith in Jesus that what he's spoken to our heart can and will happen.
Yes.
Will it look like what we think it's going to look like? Probably not. I did not think I'd be living in Australia. And Carlin's at uni and I'm working with my dad. Like, my life I thought would look totally different. But I tell you, I would not be where I am with Jesus if he had just kind of let me go and do what I thought my heart was wanting me to do. And I'm so, so thankful for that because it takes you so much deeper. Because it's not about then what you're doing. It's totally about your everyday with him.
Yeah,
But the one who always listens to me will live undisturbed in a heavenly peace, free from fear, confident and courageous. You will rest unafraid and sheltered from the storms of life. So you are the limitless, courageous, free from fear, center of his kindness, God in action, and his grace, to be found so close to God that you can see your own reflection in his eye. That's an everyday reality, that we are in the journey 100% of working out for ourselves and working out how the heck is that supposed to look whilst doing a PhD at Wollongong Uni, while working at home, or going to work and sometimes seeing a client on the job site. Or what does it look like as we start to think about this ministry that God's put in our heart? God, we want to keep it organic, but what do you want that to look like?
Yeah.
Who can we welcome into our home that we can facilitate them to have an encounter with Jesus? And from there, the world is your oyster because there's no barriers. You're not building something that has to be, you know, of the world, secure. You're building something that's secure in the kingdom. And that will follow you wherever you go because you are his center, nothing else. Guys, I would just love to pray and just release that over you. And I just want to jump on the back of what Maddie shared in her word of what's God stirring in you?
Yeah.
What is he birthing in you? It will be uncomfortable as you step out. The things that I'm most passionate about cause me the most discomfort. Isn't that interesting? But it's good because you trust God and he will come through. But I'd love to pray for you. I don't know if you are in a similar position to like what I've just shared Carl and I are in, if you're kind of wondering, God, how will this thing in my heart come to fruition? Maybe you don't actually know what God is birthing in your heart. You don't know what that flavor of his kindness and grace is to look like in your life. Wherever you find yourself this morning,
sure.
I really do believe that the Lion of Judah is roaring over you,
yeah.
And he is speaking to you and he is singing over you if you would just surrender your heart,
yeah.
And say, Jesus, here's my heart.
Yeah.
Fill it with your grace, fill it with your love, fill it with your kindness.
Yes.
And then just go along for the ride. Just go along for the journey, hey, and see who God will bring around you and see how he will provide. Adam, I'm not sure what you're sensing either. If no one wants to come and pray, that's totally fine. But I just thought we'd have